our words have an effect, and your words frame your world, according to James chapter 3. So whatever you're declaring, you're painting a picture. Your words paint pictures. If I start saying a lot of different words and you've got your eyes closed, it is painting a picture in your mind. You know, when you're speaking with someone, they may be talking about a friend that you both know and you haven't seen for a while, but they've seen them and they talk about them. Then you've got pictures of your mind of the face of that person and the things you may have done with them. It's all there. It flashes up. So what's flashing up in your mind from the words that are being spoken to you? What's flashing up in your, what words are you flashing up in people's mind from the words that's being spoken from your mouth? So God's words build faith. They build confidence. They build trust. God is a great God of encouragement. He wants every one of us to be of full faith, of great encouragement, of great heart. And he supplies to us the words that keep us encouraged, right? His word is light and his word is life. And when you speak, like I said, you can't see your words, but you know what? Satan can see your words. The devil spirits can see your words. When you're speaking what God's putting in your heart, it's light. It's dispelling darkness. So I know that we've been conditioned from the time we're born to say the narratives in the world. You know, we go to school, we got our favorite person, friend. We're learning from them what their families taught them, our nan, our granddad. You know, and us grandparents, as well as parents, we have to be careful what we're saying. We don't want to build fear in people. Now, we can say to our children, be careful. But my mum used to go over the top. She used to say, Lawrence, you've got to be careful. You could be run over and killed. Like, you know, put fear in me. Rather than just say, like, what could happen without going into graphic detail. So, you know, God wants us to speak his words of life. Jesus Christ said, my words, their spirit, and their life. They give life. They impart faith. They build encouragement. They build vision. And God says that without, where there is no vision, the people wander aimlessly. Where there's no revelation from God, then we wander aimlessly. So when we're receiving sound words from God, then he's building our vision. Word over the world. What kind of pictures does that paint in your mind? You know, when someone says word over the world, it shows me a big globe. You know, with many people coming to Christ and being born again and speaking in tongues. And so, our words are just very important. And I'd encourage you, you know, to really practice saying what's the right thing. Because your words have energy in them. You know, there's energy in your words. And it's either going to bring some, it's either going to sap the strength from someone, or it's going to build strength in people. So we want to speak those heavenly words from God. We, you know, if you've got a problem, a situation, and you may not feel like it, you know, and I understand that. Sometimes we just may not feel like it. We may feel tired, or we may feel weak, or, you know, just don't feel, we haven't got the energy, but we have to say, I'm fine, I am healed by the stripes of Christ, I am blessed, I'm full of life, I'm full of energy. And when you don't know what to say, then speak in tongues. That's perfect words, right? That's heavenly words, which is also helping your infirmities in your body. So if you're feeling ill or you've got a problem somewhere, speak in tongues much. And say what God says. Find those great and precious promises. No, by his stripes I was healed. It's a done deal. Jesus Christ has paid for my healing. He's paid for my sin. He's paid for my mental health. He's paid for my emotional health. So what doctrines are we listening to? Because that's another thing. If we're not listening to sound doctrine, then we can deviate. We can come under bondage. We can think we can't do something when we actually can. Because we've been conditioned. You're being conditioned. Who's conditioning you? Where you put your focus is where you're being conditioned. And it just brings me back the last 2 years since I come back from India. I haven't travelled. And before, every year, all through the year, I was travelling somewhere. I'm just as hot and hotter in my walk and in my relationship with God, more than I've ever been, and I haven't gone anywhere, but I've stayed with God. I stayed doing what I committed unto him, and that was that he wanted, where he wanted me to connect. I understood that point, so I made that committed decision. Because see, without a committed decision, or a decision, you can take the word committed out of it if you want to, but really, when you make a decision, it's a committed decision, right? Without a decision, you ain't going to move forward. You need to make solid decisions. And the great thing about making decisions is that you can slowly change them as the need, where the need is. But when you make a decision, then God will strengthen you to move forward. And it says in Psalms, I believe, that it says, you know, if you vow a vow to God, defer not to pay it. You're better off not making the vow. But see, with God, when you vow a vow, that's like making a decision. But God gives you the energy and the strength and the determination to stick to that commitment. And he's the one that's energizing in you to make that commitment. So through this time, you know, when I went to India, I thought, yeah, everything's going to fly now, everything's going to be so great. Lockdown. Lockdown for 2 years. And just stuck in this little house here. And then just, we had one another and we had Zoom fellowship. And you know, I can honestly say there's not many days that I've been discouraged, because I practice staying with my Heavenly Father. I practice declaring. I practice saying what I wanted and not what I seen. I stayed fellowshipping where the sound doctrine was, where people were giving me the correct encouragement, not their knowledge of the scriptures. And yes, sometimes we share scriptures which are great, and as long as they're fitly spoken, like when Jesus Christ, he went into the temple, didn't he? And he opened up, you know, the scrolls were opened up, and he found the place where it's written, and then he read, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He was led of God to go there. He read that, and then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, right? And everyone freaked out, but he was bold to speak what God wanted him to speak, right in front of all the Pharisees, right in front of the teachers. He wasn't compromising. And if you compromise, you're compromised all the time. If you compromise on a small thing, you're compromised on a big thing. And that's why a decision making is very important. And so I've decided to stay with God and let him work in me, because the scripture says that he works in me, and that he can give me that perfect word in the perfect time, those fitly spoken words, which is health and healing to the humble heart. I can either be self-willed or I can be willing, and I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. And if it means I get reproached from elsewhere, that's fine, because my God is ordering my steps in his word. He's not letting sin have dominion over me. He encourages me. He inspires me. I'm dependent upon God. I'm not dependent upon a man. I'm not, like some people think, I'm dependent upon Sangha. I'm not dependent upon Sangha. Sangha is a minister whereby I believe, and I have great high respect for him, because I know the words he's speaking are very powerful and they're from God. And because I've been following that sound way, I'm producing fruit also. It's not me that's making me fruitful, it's God that's making me fruitful through the encouragement that I'm following. So my dependency is on God. Sangha encourages this. He's encouraged me. Lawrence, you look only to God. You go to God for this. You go to God for that. And I encourage you. You go to God. And you discern words that are being spoken. Even if someone's got their Bible open, doesn't mean to say they're right. Okay, you could go to many churches around the world, different denominations, and they'll open their Bibles, but are they all right? Frank was talking about people believing Jesus Christ is not God. Are they right? See, but it's not that we want to go and disprove anyone. We just want to speak those words from God. That will settle all problems, all answers. You know, God gives us perfect answers. And why would we want to do anything different to the way Jesus Christ walked, and to the way the Apostle Paul walked, and to the way the other apostles walked? How did they walk? They didn't carry scrolls around with them, did they? Why would we want to do it any different? Why have we been doing it different? Because it's the way we've been taught. And like Dr. Wells said in the class, you can't go no further than you're taught. But the great thing is, if you've been taught wrong, you can change it. And if you're humble and meek, God can help you do that. But if you've got fear, you think, well, we can't move away from this because this is how we were taught, and if I teach it any other way, I'll lose friends. We'll lose the friends. We're to be servants of God and of Jesus Christ. We should please God, not men. Right? Am I right? Am I saying anything wrong? Can you show me anywhere where I'm wrong? Not that I want you to try and disprove me, but it's just to put over the point. We shouldn't be the servants of Christ if we're going to please men. But God wants us to be great encouragers of his people. Everything starts in the house of God. And if things are not right in that body, in the body of people that you're moving with, then God will give you the right words to give to them. The humble and the ones desiring to move with God will see it. Now, they might wrestle with some words. I did. I can honestly say I did. With some of the things earlier on I was being taught, I just couldn't see it. Because of the doctrine that I had previously. Can you see? I'm thinking, that's wrong. That's wrong. You know, you need the Bible for everything. But God humbled me. And if I didn't become humble, I would have stayed exactly where I was, getting the same results that I got last year and the year before. But everything's different now because God is free to move. When we rest in God, see, resting in God is ceasing from your own works. That doesn't mean to say you can't read the scriptures. I'm not saying that. Sangate hasn't said that. I'm not saying that. I read the scriptures. But God says, now I've clothed you with this spirit. This spirit that raised up my son, Jesus Christ. I've clothed you with it. It's called Christ in you. It means as he is, so are you in this world. It means that you can do those same works and greater. I've given to you, my children, the words and ministry of reconciliation. Now you know I'm saying what the scriptures are saying now, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But God's bringing that out. Like Ethel was saying, God will bring those things out of us. Now we've been given the words and ministry of reconciling. That same ministry that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ operated in and was obedient to do the Father's will. Now each one of us can do the same. We can have that same heart and same mind because we got the mind of Christ. When we operate and walk by the Spirit, we got that same mind. And God can show us, and he can clarify, and he can clear out the wrong things. And it takes time. It takes time. You just change your mind, receive, and then you start to see. It took me time. I didn't agree straight away. But as I went to God, as I prayed to the Father, look, is this right? You know, and I wrestled and I struggled 3 or 4 years. But God lovingly took me step by step. Because why? He's ordered my steps. He set me upon my high place because I followed. See what it was, he was ordering my steps, but I wasn't following. I was quite comfortable and cozy where I was until he made me discomfortable. And when you get uncomfortable, then you need to go to God and say, Father, what is it? What would you have me do? How would you have me move? And then we got to be willing to do exactly what God is showing us. And he even helps us with that. It's not even an effort, it's just a decision. We're given choices every day, death or life, right? And we make the right choice. Sometimes we base our choices upon what other people may think of us. So we make a wrong choice. We make a wrong decision. And I've done that for a long time because I was worried about other people's opinions. If you're going to walk with God, you cannot be worried about other people's opinions, not even your partners, not your children. You cannot be worried about other people's opinions. And if you want to be tossed to and fro, you go and listen to that doctrine, this doctrine, and that doctrine. It may be sweet fellowship, but is it sound doctrine? Is it words that build in your faith? Is it words that's going to make you fruitful? And are your words that you then repeat going to make somebody else fruitful? Or does it make you stagnant? Does it keep you right in the spot where you were last year? Because God wants us to increase. And he wants us to abound. Can you see? It's a practice, this stuff. This is real life. Now, this is the real life that, you know, God wants us to enjoy it and to understand that what we're doing is right. There was, for a long time, I didn't understand what I was doing was right. That's why I had to connect to this teacher, that teacher, and that teacher, right? And I was getting different answers. And I'm saying, God, this can't be. This minister says this. And we all come from the same background. And all the ministers are saying different. And doing their own little studies and coming up with their own new light, which was not new light. It's very simple. God has made this very simple. And so if you want to move in power, you've got to make up your mind to stand with God first and foremost, and then connect where he's showing you and stay connected. Now, I don't go anywhere else. Seriously, I connect with my minister. I connect to God first. I'm always with God first. I've started the Soon Fellowship. This was always going anyway before that. And then I connect to my minister, and we talk, we just have conversations, and there's wonderful things that are shared. And I put into practice those things, and also what God is showing me, and God is making things happen. I'm not making it happen, I'm just being obedient. And if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to change, then God can change everything that's been stagnant in your life for a long time. Can you see what I'm saying? If things have been stagnant for years, and you will know in your heart, then you can say, God, I want this to change. Show me what to do. And he will. And God is so faithful. He's a great God of encouragement. He's not a God of discouragement, guys. No, he loves you fervently, and he wants you to have the very best. And so just stay with God. And you don't need to be flitting here, there, and everywhere. Seriously, because you'll get so many different words. And then you'll come into confusion somewhere along the line if you're going to listen to all of them and try and take it all on board. Stay with God. Do the things that work for you that are from God. The simple things. You know, the things that we've been encouraging. If you follow the encouragement, you can't go wrong. And then God just builds on that and builds your faith. So this is what was really in my heart, because we've all got that Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. We're not bound, we're not churning up inside, because we know who our Heavenly Father is, we know who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, and we know that we have that Spirit of God in us, so that we're navigated through this wilderness, right? Because the world is as a wilderness. We're in the world, we're not of it. But it's the Spirit of God that navigates you. Yes, we got the knowledge of the Scripture, but it's the wisdom that we need when we go to apply it. Then the understanding comes, and God energizes that understanding. He gives you spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of his Son and the way to walk. Your words have an effect. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your words are seed, and it's going to produce. Now, you can't see your words, you can't see God, but your words are having an effect, right? And it's either death or life. And it's going to grow, that little seed that you're speaking. And that's why I'm so blessed when God showed me, Lawrence, say what you want, not what you see. Say what you want, not what you feel. You know, that's another thing. Not your emotions, how you're feeling, your circumstances. And but we say what God says. And it seems like you're a liar. You know, like Fred mentioned, oh, your bank account's empty. Oh, my bank account's overflowing. Let me see. There you go, it's overflowing. It's got zeros on it. You're a liar, Lawrence. No, I'm saying what I want, not what I see. I'm calling those things which are not as though they were. Our words have an effect, and your words frame your world, according to James chapter 3. So anyway, that was what's in my heart to share.